Here to give everyone a chance to let someone know just how much they mean to them.
That's an easy way to start. The love that he shares, 'cause he listens to my prayers. That's why I say thanks every day.
Welcome everyone back to the Just So You Know podcast. I'm here with our next and newest guest, Andrew. Everyone, Andrew is someone I've known for, what is it, did we decide 3 years?
Three years.
And over the 3 years, we've been able to honestly just hear each other's heart over how we want to see the generation that we're a part of be met by Jesus. Andrew, I would say, is like a visionary and a dreamer, a pioneer for our area and our school. And more than anything, he's a radical man of God who desires to see his peers know Jesus. And so, without further ado, Andrew, everyone.
Yep, that's me.
So, to start, I just want to throw out some rapid-fire questions off the cuff.
All right.
What are your answers going to be? All right. Favorite brand?
Favorite brand? Ooh, I am a business student, so I should know this and I should have a favorite brand, but I literally do not. Like, I don't know.
Nike, Adidas, Hoka, your runner.
Runner? I'm going to have to go with OnCloud then. OnCloud. I actually like where that brand's going. I'm great. Actually really excited. Yeah.
Really excited. I've never been excited about a brand before, but.
Well, like, they're kind of new, so like, they're coming out new stuff. So,
I see
like,
what
I'm
you're
excited
saying.
Where they're like,
yeah.
Vision's
yeah,
going.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Yeah. Go-to drink.
Go-to drink, pink lemonade.
What kind? Like specific?
Like
type?
Minute Maid.
Minute Maid.
Yep.
I'm more of a raspberry lemonade Minute Maid
type
of gal, but
yeah,
I can drive with strawberry lemonade. Favorite boy band?
Oh, favorite boy band. Okay. I'm going to have to go with One Direction, because that's like the only thing that's coming to mind right now when I think of boy band.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think my answer is Big Time Rush.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
I've realized over the years that when I feel like a conversation is becoming awkward, I literally just start saying just like a transition theme song.
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna have to use them. Okay, you have the aux. You're in the car. What are the first three songs on the queue?
First three songs. Karma by JoJo Siwa.
You're dumb for that.
Karma by JoJo Siwa. This, you could ask people. That's literally top song. Second song would probably have to be... Illusion by Dua Lipa. Those are my two. And then the last one, which is a banger, is Hot and Cold by Katy Perry.
The pop female artist that you have on your queue is crazy. It feels like the hottest take I've ever seen in my life.
My playlists are wild. My playlists are wild.
Oh, God. Alarming. But, you know, it is what it is. Favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday has to be Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the vibes.
Literally, the vibes are crazy.
Like, pumpkin spice is good, but you can also get it during Christmas time.
Exactly.
So
you have a point.
Yep.
In a Starbucks Christmas cup.
Yeah, exactly. Which is
even better.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But it works. It works.
Exactly. Do you have a lucky number?
A lucky number? No, I don't.
No?
No. Like, I've always thought three is pretty cool, but like.
Do you remember your like school number, like your class number? Did you have one of those?
24.
24. Would you say that's? It's maybe not a lucky number.
I mean,
it's
it like could be because that's also like the day I was born in May. So
wow.
Yeah.
So maybe 24. Maybe
yeah.
We
maybe
just
20. Yeah. Maybe that's
your favorite number. 24
number.
I, grew up and my favorite number was 12.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it just decided one day that I just liked the number 12.
Yeah.
So now every handle that I have is I have 12 in it with like
every all, handle,
like username.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I guess I just kind of, it just kind of stuck. Yeah.
I switched between 24, 25, you know?
Yeah.
Grad year.
True.
Yeah.
They're close.
Yeah. They're close.
I was born on the 11th of September. Let's take a moment.
Moment of silence.
And so okay. I've decided that I think 12 should be my favorite number.
Yeah.
So, Moving on. Okay, outside of things that you do, like sports or activities or clubs that you're part of, how would you explain who Andrew is?
Who Andrew is outside of my clubs and schools? I would say I'm a very, like, relaxed person. I enjoy going out in nature and just being one with nature. But I also can be a bit of, like, need to do stuff and, like, fill my day with stuff to do. Yeah. But I also can be the person that will go and binge watch a show all day long.
For sure.
If I have the time to do that. But, yeah, I think Andrew, outside of his clubs and stuff, is this person that's just trying to find those little moments of rest when I'm not involved in other activities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last show that you binge watched, what was it?
I'm currently binge watching The Mentalist.
What is that?
It's a show, Disney Plus and Max, if you're interested.
Okay.
Streaming live. It's about this guy that used to be like this psychic and then realized that it's fake and he's just really good at like reading people. So he like is helping the FBI solve cases, and it's not too like bloody and gory and
great,
you know.
So like, it's a good, what is like, it? Isn't it called Psych? Another show that's like
there's really another show that's called Psych.
Yeah, but it's like sounds exactly
so it's like
the
Psych,
same.
But like I'd say like more a little more mature level.
Oh,
like, as
wow.
In like,
so maybe not just like kind of like corny humor.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a little bit, but
yeah, it's a little bit, yeah,
mature audience.
Mm-hmm. Mature but not too mature.
Okay.
Because it's me. Literally.
What's your hottest Star Wars take?
Hottest Star Wars take? Oh,
for the viewers listening at home,
for the viewers, yeah,
we one of me and Andrew's bonding things is Star Wars, and specifically Lego Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because nothing is better besides Jesus.
Yeah,
than Lego Star Wars.
That's kind of accurate. That
so
sums up my.
That's
room.
Where this question's coming from. Hottest take.
Yeah. Hottest take. My hottest take is a lot of people did not like the Rogue One film. And I actually love that film.
Don't say it.
I actually love that film. And I think it's probably one of the greatest Star Wars films.
Wow.
Yeah.
My hot take is that I think Jar Jar Binks is one of the greatest characters inside of the franchise.
That is a really big hot take.
I just love him. Like, what is Star Wars without Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, that's true. I mean, you got the Dark Jar Jar memes.
Exactly.
He's coming to theaters. Like, they're confirming him. Like, it's in canon now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, hashtag Gungan for life.
Gungan for life is crazy.
One of the things that I feel like I have noticed about you is that you are someone who, like, loves to have a good time, super spontaneous and fun, but I feel like you're also like a deep thinker. You think about things that not a whole lot of people are thinking about. So accurate.
So my next
question is, like, what's something you've been like thinking about, something you've been meditating on, something like that?
Oh, dude, this is on the spot. Okay. Deep thing that I've been thinking about. Well, I have been thinking a lot about like the ocean, right?
The ocean. That's deep.
And that's, you know, that's deep. That's
yeah.
Deep thinking. And, you know, dolphins and sharks and like the, you know, marine life.
For sure.
Right. And, like, you know, out of like all these animals and stuff, there comes like, you know, the idea of dinosaurs living in the ocean.
Wow.
And, I had a conversation with my mom the other day about the Leviathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about dinosaurs, and I shared a similar theory that, like, we had shared during track season earlier this year about how dinosaurs died because they never got put on the ark.
Exactly.
It has to be
poor
true.
Guys.
And, like, you know, poor guys, but also, like, you didn't get the invite.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. God didn't want you there.
Yeah, you did it. Like, you didn't get the invite. So, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about dinosaurs, but I still am thinking about dinosaurs because I was thinking about dinosaurs, like, you know, back in track season.
Yeah.
But, like, I really am curious to know how scientists found out how they make noise. Like, you know, how, like, in...
That's a great point.
Yeah, like, how do we know what they sounded like?
Yeah, like, there's no way.
Like, they could high-pitched squeals. Like, they could talk like, you know, Animal Crossing characters. Like, how do we know that they roared? Like, what?
Factual.
Yeah, like,
factual.
Yeah. So, if anyone knows, please DM me because I do.
If you have any research on dinosaurs, please leave it in the comments. And please email me, campuslifetabletalks@gmail.com. We would love to know.
Yes, we would love to know.
Well, those are deep thoughts. Deep thoughts. What did your mom have any opinions on things?
She does believe that there's the Leviathan living in our ocean. So that's pretty cool.
We're actually, everyone, the Just So You Know podcast is actually turning into conspiracy theories. Actually, that's what we've decided today.
Okay, sorry, but gonna go follow this thought. You know how, like, he flooded the earth, right? So it makes sense the Leviathan would survive because it was a water.
Yes.
Like, dragon thingy.
Oh, for sure.
So,
that
like,
makes, that makes a lot
that
of sense.
Just makes sense that... That's why, like, frogs and amphibians all, like, you know, came from dinosaurs because they didn't die because they were, yeah. So you can argue with me, but
that's on microevolution right there.
Literally, literally.
Wow. Never thought about that. I did watch a Instagram reel last night of this, like, mom sitting in her car, and she was like, if I invite you over to dinner, there's a 99% chance that I will subtly try to bring up the conversation of Leviathans or Nephilim or things of that nature because I love talking about it. And so I feel like we kind of just entered into that.
Yep.
We should be invited over to her house.
Literally.
So maybe this is different. I remember us sitting here after one of our core meetings and we were like, hey, what are some big questions you're asking or things that you just, like, genuinely don't have the answer to? Maybe it's like, does Leviathan still exist?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's a big question that you've been asking?
A big question I've been asking. A big question that I've been asking personally that I've also been thinking deeply about is the whole existence of social media. Because I do think that, like, yes, this was like a new technology that came out and it did help, like, the world connect. But, like, seeing all, like, the research come out about how, like, actually bad it is for the brain and like the human, like, social aspects in general and, like, children, like, it just confuses me how, like, we haven't just gotten, like, a hold of this thing and we just let it run wild.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy to think, like, studies have shown how,
like,
addictive it is, like, more than, like, cocaine.
Yeah.
That's
and, like,
crazy.
And, like, there's, like, studies about, like, how bad alcohol is, and we have, like, an age limit for that.
Yeah.
And there's studies that show how bad drugs are, and we have, like, a quasi-age limit or a legal ban
on
it.
Yeah.
And there's studies that are coming out with how bad social media is, and there's just nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no regulations, no, I mean, there's age time limit restrictions, but that's up to the parents. It's not, like, enforced.
Yeah, that is nuts when you think about it.
I was, like, thinking about that the other day. I was like, what? Like,
this might feel out of topic, but I remember when, like, e-cigarettes, like, vapes got super popular and they were, like, marketing it as, like, the best way to, like, get off of tobacco and, like, but then just they're like, we don't know the impacts of this. We don't know, like, what's going to happen in the years because, like, it has never happened. And now we're watching, like, kids who are, like, 16 through 18 have, like, holes in their lungs because of, like, e-cigarettes.
Yikes.
Or, like, the amount of, like, nicotine addiction is absolutely nuts. And so, yeah, I feel like it's similar with social media. It's like, we don't know the impacts.
yeah.
that it's going to have down the line, or like what it's doing to our brains.
Yeah.
I think you can say the same thing is true about like the studies that are coming out about pornography and things of that nature as well. It's like,
yeah.
why are we not taking stuff like this more seriously? It's crazy. That is a big question.
Yeah.
Any wisdom for us?
My wisdom would be like what I do is I usually take like random week breaks throughout the year, like just like to unplug, because like I notice myself on social media scrolling in the trap, and then I'm like, I just wasted like 2 hours of my life that I literally can't even remember like what I even like watched. Like what am I doing? So I'll just take like random 1-2 week breaks and just unplug and just like realize like to just be in the moment is just so much more important than what social media has to offer. Because I don't know if you remember the last like 5 videos you watched on social media, because I do not.
I definitely don't think I do, except about that lady talking about Nephilim. So that's about it from the last. But I feel like sometimes I just remember the most out of pocket videos that I watch. And so I feel like people just create more of those. And now that's kind of like the standard is the like vastly out of pocket brain rot.
Brain rot, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
The fact that we call
it the fact that we call it brain rot should be alarming to us, but
the algorithm here we are. Literally
here we are. Well, one of the reasons why I created this podcast is because I feel like gratitude, or like the idea of thankfulness, is something that, one, I think as adolescents we don't do well, but two, I think as Americans we don't do well. And when I work in the high schools, I consistently see like a dissatisfaction with circumstances. Yeah. I see like an ungratefulness towards things that you've been provided. This last year I've been able to travel abroad and went to Morocco, and like seeing some of the like the very little that people have, like it's moments like that where you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually so grateful for all the things that I have.
Yeah.
But then you come back into the normal flow of life, the regular like scene of all the things, and you're like, dang, like I watch my heart become hard to the things that I was once grateful for when I like got out of my culture and came back into it.
Yeah.
And with that, I've been thinking about this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you."
Yeah.
If this is the will of God for us, for me, for you, for the church as a whole, like, why do you think that we have so many Christians specifically? Obviously, this isn't a standard that we can judge the world upon. But why do you think so many Christians, like, don't do this well?
I think one of the reasons why I think that the like Christians, people in general, America don't like, you know, do great with gratitude is one, just the way our society has gone in general has been like this, like all about me, like self-care, like what can I do for myself, like how do I get myself through like life struggles, like what can I do? And a lot of that is like self-centered focus, but a lot of our generation just doesn't have that like outpour of like, what can I do for someone else? Wow. How can I help someone else through the struggle? Because like, it's like a chain like reaction effect. Like if you go and you're like, I know this person's struggling and I'm struggling right now, but the fact that they're struggling and me helping them is also going to lift me up and them up in the same moment. And then that person's also going to get lifted up and then have the ability to lift someone up, and it just kind of works like that. But I do also think that we've come less like goal driven as a society. I think that many Americans have just become like stagnant in like the ways of their life, like right now, and that they're somewhat content, maybe not completely content, but they're just like okay with watching the world go by, and I'm not that American, and I'm not that person that wants to sit in my struggle and sit and watch other people's in their struggles, because that is just not the life that God intended for humans to live, and that doesn't like fulfill my life. So I do think that the idea of gratitude is really important, and yeah. I think that it has really changed my life and me personally. An example of that is our cross country team, Jackie yeah. Story. Wow, what yeah. what a leader in the just gratitude in general. Like yeah. that is just like just said over our team over and yeah. over. We call it attitude for gratitude, and we yeah. literally go. And like I think like 2 times like a year, maybe 3 times, and we go to every person and we tell them why we're grateful for wow. them on the team. And even though like it could be just like a, you know, a high school, like, don't really care. Like
yeah.
the fact that words are coming out of your mouth and you're looking at that person and you're telling that person that you're grateful for them really yeah. changes like the team chemistry on our team.
Yeah.
And it just has shown like success throughout literally. Our program in general, because we've been like so grateful for each other and we've yeah. connected as a team so much.
Yeah. That's crazy. I think that, yeah, there's a high correlation between our ability to express gratitude and then, like, yeah, the expression of it itself having an implication on our own heart's, like, disposition towards it as well. Yeah. It's like we become happier, we yeah. become more joyful, we become yeah. things of that nature. So how would you say, like, what's a practical on how someone can, like, position their heart towards gratitude?
A practical way, to like position yourself towards gratitude is start with the little things.
Hmm.
I mean, earlier this weekend I was on the boat and it was cold and it was freezing yeah. and I was like not enjoying myself. And all of a sudden I was like, God, I just wish the sun would come out. And literally like 2 minutes later, the sun's like coming out and I just immediately started thanking him for it. And I yeah. started like thanking him and expressing like my gratitude. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't care if it's just out for like 10, 20 seconds. Yeah. Like that moment felt like it just felt great. So yeah. Just like start being thankful and grateful for the little things, and even speaking that out loud. Like I feel like so many times we're yeah. like we notice it but we don't speak it out loud, and that kind of just like gets like thrown into the back of the brain, and like yeah. we don't think about that again. Like we don't think about that feeling of gratefulness and thankfulness again. But like when you actually like say, hey, like, oh, I'm grateful that I can get up this morning. I'm yeah. grateful that I'm running. Like,
yeah.
I'm grateful that like my legs are moving, and even yeah. though I don't want to, like they're yeah. still like pushing and stuff. And I feel like starting with like the little things leads you to like the big things. And sometimes we want to go right to the problem and like, yeah. Like attack it at the core. But sometimes it's like chipping away. It's yeah. like you need to like start like on the outer edge and to get to like the center, because yeah. if you just go straight for the middle, sometimes it's too hard to just like reach the core.
Yeah, I totally agree. Last episode with Taylor, I said a quote that says silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone.
Yeah,
it's like the whole point of gratitude is for it to be expressed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's really cool. This might be a deeper, more philosophical, theological question, but okay. it's something I've been thinking about, and I think you brought it up too. Talking about how gratitude, the way that we express it, is usually towards someone who is committed to us in a certain way, or someone who has expressed gratitude to yeah. us in certain ways, or has loved us at our lowest seasons of life, or has seen us when we felt unseen, things of that nature. Yeah. And so you're even talking about like the expression of gratitude towards someone could imply then that chain reaction. I mean,
yeah.
we see trends go around on like random acts of kindness and yeah. stuff like that. But the chain reaction that it actually has when we start expressing gratitude, but someone has to start that chain. Someone yeah. has to start doing it. And so it made me think about the chain that we talk about inside of discipleship too,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, if I have someone pouring into me, and if I'm pouring into someone else, then I can help watch that person I'm pouring into pour into someone else. And
yeah.
that cycle like continuing to happen, that chain reaction starting. What do you feel like the correlation between gratitude and discipleship? How do you feel like those things correlate?
I think they correlate together. I think that when you're discipling someone and you're like in the mess with them, like it all comes back to gratitude and just being grateful wow. that like even in the moments when you're in the struggle with someone else, like the moments, the little moments, like I was saying earlier, like just like sitting with that person, and even if you're not even saying anything, even yeah. if you're not like you're not speaking words, the actions of just sitting with them in the mess
yeah.
is really what like it's all about, like yeah. that, and that's what discipleship is all about. I think that the correlation between gratitude and discipleship is beautiful, and I yeah. think that it really helps move forward into a deeper like connection with the person.
Yeah.
When you start to name like, oh, like even though like that person can't see, like they're like, I cannot always see like what people think about me.
Yeah.
Like what, and what like people are grateful about me, and I can't see that. Cause I mean, that's not where my vision's at.
Yeah.
But when people start to speak that over me, that's when like I can like reflect for that little moment of like, wow, like that's like, that makes me feel good. That's like crazy. Like never thought of that before. But and it's something that I can like reflect on, but it's like not something that I'm like constantly like, oh shoot, that person doesn't think that about me. And like, don't go down the rabbit hole of like, caring about what other people think. But that's the beautiful thing about discipleship. It's like, you're in the mess together. So, like, it, like you're giving your, like, you're like showing this person, you're sharing this light, like life with this person. So, obviously their goal and intentions aren't going to be to push you farther down into the mess, but, to lift you out. So,
Yeah. I think when I think about my relationship with God or even mentors or different things like that, I've never grown because someone has belittled me in something. And maybe that's not true. I remember like high school when I like was in sports and stuff, like people would yell at me and be like, get better at this, you suck at this, and it would like cause me to instantly need to grow. But what you're saying is like this lifelong progression of like growing, and the only sustainable growth that I found in my life is when Jesus has said things like, hey, I really see this about you, like I really appreciate this about you, or like when mentors come alongside of me and they're like, do you know that you're like a gifted communicator? And I'm like, no, I haven't thought about that before. Like, maybe I should think about that more. Or like, instead of, I think that's why the Bible is super clear that it says like, in Jesus's kindness leads people to repentance, and repentance is like how we change. And so it's like, if I have the ability to express gratitude or even like, a prophetic encouragement over someone of like, I see this in you, and like, I feel like God wants to like bring this out of you. It's in that kindness, in that expression of grace and that expression of gratitude that we actually have the ability to repent, turn from our old ways, and like sustainably like go on the journey of growing with God. So I think that's really beautiful. You've come prepared with a letter to someone. Before you do that, could you explain who this person is?
Okay, so the person that I'm writing my letter to is, or I chose to write my letter to, is Joanna DeBoer. She was just a really big role model in my life my freshman year, going from eighth grade into the high school in that transition era. Was just, I mean, ever, like people that have already gone through that, like it sucks, like it's like what is going on here, like this is high school, like oh, it's the next big thing. And just like seeing a senior pour into a freshman was just like unheard of. Like I thought like maybe my brother's friends, like maybe like I wasn't even sure about that. I was like maybe like my older brother's junior friends, but like a senior was just like unheard of, like not like. And she just like poured it into me so much. I mean, I'm gonna talk about it in the letter, but just the things that she did in my life just left like a mark, and it's like a mark that like I can't get rid of now. And it's, she has like gone on to college, and like we don't talk every day, and we're not like, you know, buddies like we were in like freshman year. But just like the sole fact that I can like say that I'm the person that I am today because of her, is just a testimony that I would like to share.
Yeah. I think that in conversations about Joanna that we've had, we've talked about how her impact on you has caused you to desire to like leave a legacy at Jenison. Yeah. That's really similar. Would you explain like kind of what that impact that you want to have on Jenison is because of her influence?
Yeah, so with her influence of a senior like pouring into a freshman, like that legacy, like that, like immediately when she left, I was like, I want to do the same thing. Like I want to leave that legacy of like, you know, the seniors, the older people pouring into the younger people, but like not in just like a I'm older than you, follow me way, but like a I want to like be crazy and yeah. like have fun and become friends yeah. and like share memories together with other people. So like the legacy that I want to leave at Jenison is just like, I mean, her legacy. Like I want to yeah. Like pass, like take the baton from her yeah. and just like show Jenison that like, although it may look weird and it's yeah. not culturally like normal for a senior to be hanging around with like middle schoolers and freshmen and younger yeah. people, but just like the beauty that comes out of that yeah, is true. Like what I want to leave at the school, because I mean that's what was left to me, so yeah. why not, you know, pass that down.
I love that. Without further ado,
so hey Joanna DeBoer, Just so you know, you have impacted my life for the better and played a major role in the leader and the person that I am today. I know it sounds cliche and fake, but it's the truth. Freshman year was a ton of fun, and it was mainly because of you. I mean, a senior letting me hang out with the upperclassmen, how crazy is that? Unheard of until you. You not only made me feel included as part of the group, but you were a true friend. From making pancakes at 11 p.m. at night that may or may not have included inappropriate images, screaming Katy Perry at the top of our lungs in the back of the bus, having counseling sessions at 10 p.m. in your living room, the memories I will forever hold dearly to my heart. As fun as the memories were, I'll never get over the little things. The physical hugs you would give me every time we saw each other, no matter how weird they felt. The Roddy Rich, the box laughs we had, and just asking me how my day was. The biggest little thing was caring about my little freshman life at the lunch table. You had countless other friends around you, from freshmen to seniors, but the fact you actually sat with my friend group and cared meant the world to little old me. You not only cared for me as your son, shout out Dad, Dom Lamberts, love you too, if you know, you know, but at the same time, you were showing me how to be a leader, lifting others up, being authentic, and caring about the youth. Bringing smiles to others' faces were all qualities you were secretly, subconsciously teaching me as a young freshman. The opportunities you gave such a little freshman shocks me to this day. I mean, letting me take your prom and grad party pictures, that's like scary now that I reflect on that, that you shared those big moments with me. Letting me tag along in the squad gang, no matter what we were doing, you made me feel human. Made me feel like I mattered and really reflected the love that God has for his people and others. Two of my favorite memories, one being little and one being big. The little one was the night before my states, my sophomore year. It was like 9 p.m. You had already graduated, and I had literally just gotten out of the shower and had only pajama pants on in the living room. And I heard someone come in through the door and sprint downstairs. I was so confused and concerned because I had no idea who just entered my house. And I suddenly heard your voice calling for me. I was so shocked. And you gave me a huge hug and said a quick goodbye and handed me a card. That small action meant a lot to me. It meant that you still cared, that you were still watching me succeed, even if it was from afar. I still have that card, and I do read it till this day. Whenever I go through my cards, it taught me a lot about how a couple words on paper could mean so much to a person. And that a card is never too cringy to write to someone and randomly drop off at their house at 9 p.m. at night. But only in West Michigan. One of my favorite memories was skiing with you. You decided to randomly come on my family ski trip and tag along. It was cold and my hands were freezing, but I remember the laughs and the talks we had up the chairlift. So as much as the memories were fun, and we aren't as close as we used to be, all I know is that God put you in my life right there for that reason. And that reason was to be taught to love, taught to grow, taught to be nice to friends who aren't the same way back. And regardless of the hurt that came from saying goodbye, I know that you have equipped me with the heart for other people, to chase other people with love and kindness, to be grateful for the little things, and to never give up in the midst of frustration and adversity. I want to thank you. Thank you for lifting me up, for the little I'm proud of yous. Thank you for being a supportive mother on no child support, and thank you for loving me despite my age. Thank you. So just to let you know, J-Baby, my second mom, Joanna DeBoer, you have impacted my life in such a positive way that I know that we can now both be proud of the person I'm turning out to be.
It's beautiful. Andrew, just so you know, I am grateful to watch the wisdom, the well of wisdom that God has formed inside of you. I've watched you grow from a kid making a video, putting it inside of a group chat about how God had encountered you in a specific night, to watch that fire grow inside of you, to want to share that with other people. I've watched you countlessly pour into peers who dishearten you by their actions. I've seen the compassion in your eyes when people do things that hurt your heart, because you know that it hurts the Father's heart. I've watched you pray and intercede on behalf of not only the school, but for your family and for your peers around you. I've seen you pour into your cross country team, like they're the family that God has that they're supposed to be for this season. And I've watched you countlessly sacrifice yourself on behalf of other people. And because of that, I just want to say thank you for being the person you are to our family that we have at CORE, to the school as a whole. I don't think that people will understand that there's a legacy that you're actually leaving that is going to impact year after year after year because of the things that we've been able to trailblaze together in. And I'm super grateful for all of those things.
Thanks.
Any last words for our infamous fans?
For the infamous fans, I would encourage you to come to CORE, because
yeah,
the nights are literally so special, and I just know that God has big plans, and God can literally meet you wherever and whenever and wherever you are. So yeah,
slight plug, Mondays.
Yep. Mondays,
be there, be square. There. Literally. With that, deuces, fam.
Deuces.
That's why I say thanks.